So I call this public health advocacy. It's a regional project. I run the New England as a regional council. We're in six New England states. And we've been doing a lot of work focusing on payer policy change, payer being insurers. Those are paying for health insurance. So it's a different tape. How do I move this? Oh, there we go. So the ASA Regional Council, as Leon said, he already said it. We are part of Health Resources in Action. We're a public health organization here in Boston. Keep going here. So the ASA Regional Council was formed in 2000. Actually, the regional offices of Health and Human Services and EPA and HUD came together to say that we have a high pediatric rate of asthma here in New England, and we really need to do something about it. And through the years, we have developed and convened partnerships and learning communities among public health agencies, healthcare providers, payers, and policymakers. And we've worked on a variety of issues. This is actually before I came here, from addressing diesel. Actually, in the last couple of years, I'm really going to talk about promoting healthy housing and focusing on strategic planning for healthy housing, and we've been working on a project to promote payment for interventions for children with asthma and for adults with asthma in-home, addressing indoor air quality, and actually one of our partners is here. So we're really working, I'm just going to focus on this one piece of what we've been doing as an example of what could be done, which is promoting sustainable payment for a healthcare best practices. And so basically we found that in order to promote best practices for a healthcare delivery system, you really need to engage healthcare providers so they're on board for what you're doing, payers, insurers, policymakers who have the ability to change and impact policy, patients, who are the people, obviously, and purchasers of health insurance who are employers. That's less important when you're dealing with a Medicaid population. So we've been working for a long time, over 10 years, to improve health and quality of life and reduce disparities by promoting policies for sustainable coverage, for reimbursement, with a specific focus on voluntary coverage and really for promoting in-home interventions for asthma education, environmental interventions, although there's a lot of focus on outdoor environments, and I actually used to do a lot of work on that. We know that also indoor air quality really impacts everybody. It really impacts kids, and children are known to spend like 90% of their time indoors. So we also need to focus on our indoor environments. Our focus really says that, you know, if there's an intervention that needs to be done, if it's not paid for, and we're talking about asthma, but this could be anything, it could be diabetes, whatever, is that if it's not paid for, it's not going to get done. We all know that asthma disproportionately impacts communities of color, Latino, Black, low-income children. There's a clear evidence on the environmental contributors in both homes and schools and workplaces with chemicals, mold, carpeting, and we know that it's essentially less costly to prevent it than to treat it. A lot of kids end up in the ER or hospital. And with healthcare care reform, we have a real opportunity to impact what happens. And finally, we have learned over our work that Medicaid is really the low-hanging fruit, that low-income families are disproportionately impacted, and that if we can impact what Medicaid payers are paying for, ultimately that can help tip the balance with other healthcare payers as well. Part of my slide is missing. That's weird. Okay. That's really weird. Making the case for asthma, I was supposed to have on the top the cost of asthma. 1 in 12 people have asthma. In medical visits nationally, it's $11.5 million a year. It's also around $56 million a year if you factor in missed school days, missed work days, and other things like that. And so, again, we have focused on and promoting home-based asthma education and environmental interventions, and really focusing on promoting community health workers. Do people here know what community health worker is? Shaking heads. Okay, I'm going to skip that one. And that there's been a lot of studies that demonstrated that you could save $2 to $28 for each symptom day that's gained. Oh, there's that slide. There we go. So basically, this is a process, again, that you could use for lots of different things that you could be working on. But this is making the case. First, we went to the constituency and finding out from medical directors of insurance companies, and this is back in 2005, like, what do you care about? Like, what do you want to know? I'm going to go through some of these. We then had a payer symposium. We've done a business case. We've piloted some programs. I think Maddie was talking about piloting some programs to demonstrate that it works with some healthcare payers. We collaborate and have learning communities, and one of the things we've been doing for 5 years now is in each of the six New England states, there is a CDC-funded state asthma program, and we actually have a small grant from the EPA to have a learning community each month to build regional strategies and approaches and learning communities to find out what everyone's doing and working on. And in 2010, we did a gap analysis with healthcare payers interviewing, I think out of 45 payers in the region, 28 responded to find out what do they cover and not cover in terms of best practices for asthma. So are they covering asthma education? Are they covering home visiting? Are they covering, you know, different kinds of medication? I'm not going to go into the specifics of asthma, but it was important for them to hear back what do you cover, what don't you cover, and what are the best practices, because there's national guidelines about what best practices are. Oh, wrong button. So what we did find out is that payers want to know, you know, what is the evidence base for best practices, like what's been studied out there, what can they expect from paying for certain interventions in terms of people's health, disease outcomes, you know, what are standard practices and best models. And they also want to know what providers want. So actually Liz Woods is one of our partners, works from Children's Hospitals here, and they want to know what people that are actually delivering the care want to deliver to families. And they want to also know what employers want, because employers are buying their insurance as well. And finally, they want to know, what's this going to cost? And what kind of savings are we going to have, the big term return on investment? So these are some tools for advocacy that we developed. They're very specifically geared towards the audience. So one is investing in best practices for asthma. It was geared towards payers to tell them what is the business case and to highlight some successful programs around the country and things they're doing. We have a business case for employers about why they should pay for health and for asthma best practices and what it costs to them to have their employees sitting at their desk worrying about their kids at home or missing work because of their children or because of their own illness. And then we also highlighted insurance coverage for asthma, four key components. These tools have been used nationally in many different places around the country to impact policy or working towards impacting policy. And you'll see at the bottom that Secretary Sebelius actually cited this in a letter that went out to governors across the country about best practices in chronic disease and Medicaid savings. So we do a lot of federal advocacy as well. So we make the tools and we bring them to the table. And in 2010, we had our second symposium with payers. We brought together mostly healthcare payers, which took a lot of work to get them to the table, as well as policymakers, as well as providers. And we reflected back to them what we learned from them from our gap analysis. We talked about the shifting healthcare system. This was when the Affordable Care Act was coming into being. We got people to come share promising models, and then we had an open dialogue. At that meeting, someone actually got up and said, you know, we should apply to CMS for funding to do something. And we actually looked into it, but there was no opportunities that we could find at the time. But lo and behold, 2 years later, there was an opportunity from the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, which was their Healthcare Innovation Awards. And they were awarding $1 million $1 billion for new projects, and it was for lower healthcare costs, better healthcare delivery, and better health. We are one of 107 projects that were funded the first year out of 3,000. And this, you know, I say this whenever we talk about this process. This was really about New England coming together and health payers standing up and saying, we'll be partners with you, about providers that were been providing services for years and years and years, and doing it from grant to grant, and willing to work together. Now we have, this is what we created. We created the New England Asthma Innovation Collaborative. It's a 3-year project. And basically we're working on controlling asthma, and controlling costs. It's really focused on delivering home-based, care, both education and environmental interventions and assessments in the home. It's mostly delivered by community health workers. They're connected to 8 different providers throughout New England. One of our partners is in the room. And it's really focused on reducing disparities, cost savings, developing new workforces. We have a lot of partners that are delivering workforce development. And the most important thing here is when we're talking about policy, we're talking policy with a lowercase p. We're trying to change policy of healthcare payers, because we have found that as one does it, they look towards each other to learn what they're doing. And there's many people that are working across the country in pockets on changing policies with payers. So this is actually a conceptual map of our project. It's very busy, but basically, I didn't come to talk a lot about this, but again, we're looking at improving the quality of care, you know, better patient health, lower costs. It's a home visiting intervention. So we have a learning community of healthcare providers. We're planning on sponsoring our 3rd symposium for payers again in March this year. And what we plan on doing is some places are actually signing contracts now with Medicaid payers or getting Medicaid to pay for home interventions and bringing some of them across the country to promote these payments. It seems like a duh, why aren't you paying for this? But it's slow and a lot of education. And I would say it's really a lot of demonstration versus advocacy. Advocacy is in the form of going out every day, doing the work, demonstrating the cost savings. So we actually have hired a cost analyst. We're collecting data in the homes. Over 3 years, we'll be serving 1,100 kids through 8 healthcare payers. And it's about coming back to the payers with the data about the health improvements as well as the cost savings. We are in the process right now of interviewing the healthcare payers in New England again to find out their attitudes about home interventions and community health workers, as well as what kind of credentials community health workers would need. For our partners, we have 7 healthcare payer partners, 3 that are Medicaid offices, well, 2 that are Medicaid offices, the others that are MCOs. What is it going to take to change your ideas? And a lot of it is about having data. They really want to see the data. So the providers that are out there are basically advocates because they're building the case. So this is just our acknowledgments. The Asthma Regional Council has had funding from a variety of places, specifically working on these issues. These is who wrote our business cases, and currently our funding is from, the majority is from the EPA and the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare. And so this is like a little bit of a weird, here's my contact if you want it, advocacy, mobilizing, but really we're mobilizing providers to work together, to share models, mentor with each other, to have payers talking to each other, to be gathering the data, to make a case, to make change that ultimately, we're not looking to make change with just the Medicaid payers that are our partners, but also other payers and ultimately CMS funding on a national basis with people across the country that we share with. Thank you.
Well, thank you to the panel. Let's give the whole panel a round of applause.